It is so good to be here this morning. Every time I come here, I see so many new faces, and I praise God for that. I see that the Lord is blessing this assembly in very many ways. May the Lord continue to add many more to this gathering, and may his name be glorified in your midst. I just want to bring greetings from Bethany Bible Chapel in Warren, Michigan. The Lord has been so gracious to us also, and we are enjoying his blessings and are being used of the Lord in that part of the country. Let us turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verses 9 and 10. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verses 9 and 10. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste land, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. I have been going through the book of Deuteronomy this past week. Every time I read this book, it challenges me, it encourages me, it prompts me to rededicate myself to serving the Lord according to his will, according to his word. A book that will definitely help us in our day-to-day life to examine our lives as to where we stand today, where we have been yesterday, what we have accomplished thus far, and what is the purpose for which God has called us, and where we are headed. Reminding us these things, we are asked to live a life that is pleasing before him. This morning we were reminded from the book of Revelation, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Wasn't that the original purpose when God created man? Wasn't that the ultimate purpose in regard to man? That God be with man. He desired to be with man. But we see that as a result of man's unbelief and disobedience, there was a hindrance for his dwelling in their midst. But we know that God's purposes are never defeated. It will all be accomplished according to the plan and purpose of God. And there, ultimately, we see that wonderful plan, that wonderful purpose of God is going to be fully fulfilled. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. He wants us to be our Emmanuel, God with us. And he wants us to love him and serve him according to the revelation that is given to us. This morning I want us to consider from the book of Deuteronomy the God-ordained life. What is it that the Lord requires of us? What is it that he desires from us? What is the purpose for which we are called? What is it that he expects from us? In the light of all that he has done, in the light of the redemption that has come to us, in the light of the revelation that God has given us of himself, in the light of all the instruction that he has given us in his word, in the light of all the promises that he has given us in his word, and in the light of the glorious hope that we have, how should we be? Some of the most fundamental realities, fundamental principles from this book is what I want us to consider with you. And it may seem very familiar because these are the themes that we so often consider. But it is the desire of God that we consider it in our daily life and as we come together as a company of God's people, because we are a forgetful people. We are reminded of wonderful things, but in a moment, when we step out of this place, or when we step into the world, we forget those realities. So I want us to recognize what is it that the Lord wants us to be, or what is it that the Lord wants to accomplish in and through us. So as we look at this book, let's turn to the first chapter itself and read a few verses from there. Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on this side of the Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain opposite Suf, between Paran, Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab. It is 11 days' journey from Horeb by way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. Now it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him as commandments to them. 11 days' journey has taken 38 years. And Moses, just before he was called home, called the children of Israel to gather around him. And he made a review of what has happened thus far. He reminded them of the consequences of unbelief and disobedience. He reminded them of the covenant promises that God has given to them. And he reminded them of the promise of a land that was promised to their fathers. And he encourages them as they were standing at the verge of conquest, victory, to go on and occupy the land that was given to them by covenant promise. You know, Moses probably was the greatest undertaker ever. In the wilderness, under his leadership, they buried 600,000 people or more. So he knew very well the consequence of unbelief. And also, he is the one who spoke with God face to face. He knew this God who loved them. And in this book, through Moses, God opens his heart to his people and invites them to look at the heart of God. What is it that he desires from them? And how that he is willing to be with them to accomplish all that for which they are called. So, this is a book that encourages them to reflect upon the past, and a book that motivates them to go forward. And God wanted them to live a life that is according to his will. He encouraged them to occupy the land and live in that land in the enjoyment of divine presence in their daily life, enjoyment of divine love in all their relationships, and live in the enjoyment of divine counsel in all walks of life. He reminded them what the Lord said concerning them. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. A people through whom the Abrahamic covenant blessings would come to all the nations of the earth. A witnessing nation through whom the knowledge of the true and living God was to be revealed to the nations. Wonderful realities. And with this, he wanted them to consider their ways. And this morning, shall we also consider where we stand. Consider our ways. Let us recognize, remember what the Lord has done for us. He called us to himself. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. That is what we are, children of God. And God wants us to behave, to act as children of God. And that is what he wanted the children of Israel to recognize. You are my people, a special people, a chosen people. You are called for a special purpose, to represent me, to reveal me, and to declare to all the nations the true and living God. What mission was that? And we need to recognize that that's exactly what the Lord requires or expect of us. As a people who are brought to him, as a people who are given this true knowledge of the living God, a people who are brought to his very bosom to enjoy him, he wants us to live a life that would bring glory and honor to his name. So, as God ordained life, there are three things I want us to particularly consider. First of all, this God ordained life is a God centered life. And as a God centered life, it is a love centered life. And as a love-centered life, it is to be a word-centered life. Very simple outline. A God-centered life, a love-centered life, and a word-centered life. That is what this book is all about, the book of Deuteronomy. What does it mean when we say we need God expect of us or God wants us to live a God-centered life. Let us turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. I have already mentioned that verse. I just want to read it again. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. Chapter 5, verse 29. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. That it might be well with them and with their children forever. A God-centered life, because God is a God who longs to be in the midst of his people. He wants to be honored among his people. He wants to be obeyed by his people. He wants to be glorified in the midst of his people. That is a God-centered life. They were to recognize his presence in their midst. We know that when he brought them to Sinai, that is exactly what God revealed to them, that he wanted to live in the midst of his people. Moses was instructed to build a tabernacle, that his presence would be in the midst of his people, because God wanted them to recognize his presence and be conscious of his presence in their day-to-day life. Everything about their life was to be in the light of that recognition, in the light of that consciousness. We know that that is the ideal life that is presented in the Word of God, because even in that Messianic Psalm, Psalm 16, we read, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. That has been the experience of our Savior as a man on this earth. Always conscious of God's presence. And that is what is expected of us. How our lives would be transformed if we would live in that consciousness of God's presence. If we would say in our day-to-day life, I have set the Lord always before me, because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. They were to be a people who were called to be God, to be with God here on this earth, and also a people who would be with God forever and ever in heaven. They were a pilgrim people looking for a city with foundations. But they were called not just to be taken to that city with foundations. They were called to bring heaven down to this earth. Live a heavenly life. And reveal to the world what it means to be called children of God. What it means to be a man in this world with God. Bringing heaven down. We sing that wonderful hymn. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross, my Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. This should be real in our day-to-day life. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. So as we live here, As he expected of the people of Israel, they were to be a people, and we are to be a people who bring heaven down to this earth and live a heavenly life. We are so quick to quote that verse in Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every heavenly blessings in Christ Jesus. Heavenly blessings. And let us see, let us make sure that we are living in that experience, having that heavenly vision, living a heavenly life. This is what it means to be a God-centered life, being conscious of God. You know, God has blessed them in so many ways, and it was his desire that they would be with him and they would be his witnesses. Time will not permit us to go into all the details, but we need to recognize that they were to live a God-centered life in the light of their redemption. It is God who redeemed them, not because they were any special. And God mentions that in the book of Deuteronomy. You are not a people who deserved to be loved, but I loved you. I loved your fathers. And all that the Lord has done for them was by the grace of God. And isn't that the reality when it comes to our lives also? God redeemed us and brought us unto himself. We need to live in the light of the revelation that God has given us in his word concerning himself and concerning his purposes and his plans for us. We need to live in the light of the covenant blessings. It was true of Israel. It is true of us who live in this day and age. They were to live in the light of his abiding presence. And the Lord so graciously called us unto himself and asked us to abide in him. Abide in him. A people so close to the heart of God. A people, in verse 7 of chapter 4, it says, for what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? A people who are brought so close to God, close to the heart of God, and let that be the place of our abiding in him. And we need to live a God-centered life in the light of the promises that God has given us. Promise of a glorious future. Promise of glorious blessings, glorious rewards, and forever being with the Lord. The second thing that I want us to recognize is that God called them and us to live a love-centered life. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, we read, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Maybe by repeating this over and over again, we may lose the importance of what is being said here. Again, this is the heart of God that is open toward us and pleading with us and expressing his desire that we be a people who live in a love relationship with God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These are things that we need to privately meditate upon. I don't think we can do justice from the pulpit in the exposition of it. It is to be savored. It is to be tasted. It is to be experienced privately in the presence of God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This would determine the kind of life that you live in this world. This would determine the kind of relationships that you will have in this world with God and with one another. And it is this that is going to motivate you to worship the Lord as you ought to, serve the Lord as you ought to, give to the Lord as you ought to, and live a sacrificial life as you ought to. A love-motivated life. A love-centered life. You know, from the moment God took hold of the face of Adam and breathed into his nostrils, this is the thing that God wanted man to recognize. I love you. With the breath of God, that is the revelation that has come to man. I love you. And I want you to live in that love relationship. I created you that I might love you and that you would love me. And this determines, again, the quality of life, the kind of life that we would live in this world. You know, the enemy, Satan, always comes up with this question. If the Lord loves you so much, why this, why that? And we need to go into the Word of God and repeat word for word and tell what the Lord has declared. And tell the enemy, tell everyone who would question the love of God, this is our God. This is what he has revealed us of himself. This is what he has declared to us, that he loves us and he wants us to love him. You know, towards the end of the Old Testament, as we come to the book of Malachi, it begins with that statement, I have loved you. I have loved you. Immediately, the response of the people, in what way have you loved us? Look at that. All they had to do was look back at the history of Israel. In fact, that is exactly what the Lord has explained to them. Look at Jacob. Look at Jacob. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. I have loved you. As we come to the New Testament, is the message any different? The Lord, while he was on this earth, reminded his disciples and all who heard him how much God loves man. In John chapter 17, maybe very quickly we will turn to that, and then John 17:23, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And have loved them as you have loved me. In John chapter 15, verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. The Father's love, the Son's love, and that is being experienced through the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, who is repeatedly reminding us of the love of God. Abide in his love. Abide in his love. Very quickly, let us turn to 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Love is of God. I think that is something that we need to recognize constantly. Love is of God. If we want to love truly in our husband-wife relationship, in our parent-children relationship, in our assembly relationship, if we want to truly love, we need to recognize this. Love is of God. It is only as we look to Him, it is only as we live in the enjoyment of that love that we are able to express true love. If you think that in your life, love is growing cold, all you need to recognize is that maybe your love for the Lord is growing cold. That love of God that is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that has to do its work in order for us to love one another as we ought to. Love is of God. And let that be expressed in our worship, in our service, and in our relationships one with another. And finally, God-ordained life is a word-centered life. When it comes to serving the Lord, we are not left to ourselves or to our imaginations. He wants us to serve Him according to the appointed way, according to the revealed word. And that is made very plain and clear as we go through the Pentateuch, right from the beginning. There is no room for our innovations when it comes to serving the Lord, worshiping the Lord. It is to be according to the appointed way. That was made very plain and clear when Moses was asked to build a tabernacle for him. He said, just as I have shown on the mountain, you are to build. Not according to the knowledge that you have gained in Egypt. Probably Moses could have built a magnificent tabernacle or a building where God could dwell. But God said, no, it is to be according to the revelation that is given to you. As I have shown you on the mountain, you are to build. And Moses was faithful in that. And we see that the glory of the Lord descended. And it came into the tabernacle and dwelt in the midst of His people. And that is true of every aspect of our life. See, in the beginning of that, in the book of Deuteronomy, we said, God gave this to Moses as a commandment, not as a suggestion. These are some of the good suggestions that you need to consider when it comes to serving the Lord. But God said, God commanded us expressly, clearly, precisely, so that we would not be in the dark when it comes to serving the Lord. A word-centered life. Time will not permit us to go into all the details of it, but as I mentioned earlier, these are themes that are considered so often. But let us be serious. Let us be serious. Let us show some urgency when it comes to living according to the Word of God. In conclusion, I want us to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Just wrapped all together right here. This is the God-ordained life. This is what God expects from each of you. A God-centered life. Recognizing his presence. And everything that we do in our life is to be in the light of that reality. Of God being with us and we being with God. A love-centered life. Loving God and enjoying that relationship with God and also expressing that love, that divine love in all our relationships. And finally, the word-centered life. You know, in this day and age, we see that what is popular is what is acceptable. But let us not go after what is popular. Of course, if what is revealed in the Word of God is popular, we may go along. But popularity is not what is what God is expecting, or going after popular things, but going according to the Word of God. What does the Lord require of you? That is the question that we need to ask. What did the Lord reveal to us? What did he command us? If we love him, we ought to obey his command. And that is what the Lord said. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Commandments. To fear the Lord your God. To show reverence. To show love for the Lord, a grateful people who longs to be in his presence, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. May the Lord enable us to recognize these realities and enable us to apply these principles, that we would bring glory and honor to his name, and that we would find fulfillment in our Christian life. Father, we thank you for granting us another Lord's Day to come together to worship you, to honor you, to exalt your holy and precious name. What a privilege it is for us to come together as children of God, as the redeemed of God, as a people belonging to God, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God's own special people. Dear Lord, we confess our failures. How often we fail in our Christian life. We pray that we would recognize the purpose of God in calling us unto thyself, and that we would yield to your Holy Spirit who is indwelling us. We would yield to the Word of God, and we would live a life that is pleasing in your sight. Pray that you would dismiss us with thy blessing. We ask all this in the most blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.